Hello, everybody. I've got breaking news. Too many hypnotists are having bad hypnosis sessions because they don't know the difference between sleep and hypnosis. Never let your clients go to sleep. There is no research at all that shows that sleep is a state of heightened suggestibility, which is the very definition of hypnosis. So in this talk today, I am going to cover number one. Is hypnosis the same as sleep? Let's see. Should we let clients go through sessions falling asleep? What do you do if a client starts snoring? Are they asleep or are they just snoring? How to proceed if your client does fall asleep? How do you save a hypnosis session if your client falls asleep? How to avoid clients sleeping in your sessions? There's an approach you can have where it's just not going to happen. And then the next thing is, well, I'll save that for the last thing. All right, here we go. So there is a bad, bad bit of information going around. It's been going around forever in the hypnosis community. Well, sleep is named after the god Hypnos, the Greek god Hypnos, and he's the god of sleep. So hypnosis must mean sleep. And guess what? A long, long, long time ago, hypnotists thought hypnosis was a kind of sleep. In fact, they thought it was the same as somnambulism. Now, the medical term somnambulism refers to sleepwalking. But we now know any well-trained hypnotist realizes there's an extreme difference between sleep and hypnosis. Hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. Sleep is a state of relative unconscious. But Cal, what about sleep learning and all that stuff? Doesn't that have anything to do with it? No, it doesn't. You see, sleep is a state of unconsciousness, or at least relative unconsciousness. Then we have normal waking consciousness, and then we have hypnosis. Hypnosis is on a continuum of suggestibility. At normal waking consciousness, as they call it, we are suggestible, but not nearly to the amount that we are in hypnosis. There is no scientific evidence whatsoever, no real peer-reviewed study that shows that a person in sleep is in a state of heightened suggestibility. How do I know this? Well, I think I would have came across it. I've been saying this for so long and no one's ever come up with one. But even more importantly, it's because the only way you can test for suggestibility is to do suggestibility tests like the eye-lock test, arm catalepsy test, and so on. And you can't do those things while someone's asleep. All right, so let's get through with it. Hypnosis and sleep are completely different things. Okay, but Cal, sometimes when I'm doing hypnosis, my clients will fall asleep. I go, how do you know they're asleep? Then they go, well, because they're snoring. Okay, well, first of all, I'm glad that you have a concern about your clients if they start snoring, because normally that's an indication of sleep. However, let me tell you what. Snoring is not caused by sleep. It's caused by the relaxation that we experience while we are asleep. People can also experience that kind of relaxation in hypnosis and snore. So, hence a dilemma. My client is snoring. How do I know if they are asleep or if they're just very, very relaxed? Because I've told them to relax like 47 times during the session. Okay, this is how you do it. When whatever tone of voice you've been doing, so that, you know, if they are asleep, you don't want to wake them up yet. What you do is also just simply say, like, let's say I've been talking, go deeper, relax, because I count from one down to five, one, two, three, and they start snoring, right? Then what I want you to do is in the same tone of voice, you tell them, I notice you've started snoring. If you continue snoring, I'm going to think you're asleep. And if you're asleep, I'm going to have to wake you up and reschedule. But if you are awake and you're just snoring because you're relaxed, stop snoring. You can do that. Do that for me now. Stop snoring. If you catch yourself snoring again during the session, stop snoring, or I will think you are asleep and I'll have to end the session. Okay. Now, whether or not you would actually end the session, that's up to you. You could probably do some other things that I'm going to mention, but this will give them a good reason to stop snoring if they are asleep. All right, how do you proceed if the client does go to sleep? Very good question. So let's say you've said that to them and they just keep snoring away. In fact, maybe even gets louder. So now you've got very good reason to think that your client is asleep. And I'm going to tell you something. If you proceed doing a hypnosis session when you know that somebody's not in hypnosis, that's unethical. Some would call that fraud. Okay. So don't proceed. You will have to wake the individual up. Wake the person up and tell them, gosh, you fell asleep. And we can proceed if you can be sure you're not going to go to sleep. We can proceed, like, instead of you being, back with your head and laying back in the recliner, we'll have you sit up. We can do that so that if your head nods, you know that you're falling asleep, but you've got to stay awake. If you can't stay awake, we can reschedule. This is really important because that nap that you are having, you can have for free at home. But if you have it in my chair, it's going to be a very expensive nap. And then you talk to them, what are we going to do? Can you now, can that client now stay awake knowing that? Or do you need to adjust their posture so they can stay awake? Like instead of lying down or reclining, maybe sitting up during the session. Okay. Or do you need to reschedule to a other time of the day? For me, for example, if I got all relaxed and I'm in a recliner and it's in the afternoon and I'm tired, I'm going to fall asleep. So I can completely relate that my hypnosis sessions, if I was a hypnosis client and I was going to work with someone who's doing predominantly direct suggestion hypnosis, then I am going to have to be schedule my sessions in the morning. All right, what do you think about that? All right, now what? How to avoid the problem in the first place? One thing is you could let them know ahead of time in whatever conversations you have or emails you have with them that you expect them to come to the session fully rested so that they can remain awake through the entire session. Okay, good. Now, the other thing you got to do that to greatly improve your odds, you see, five-path certified hypnotists rarely ever, ever, ever have this problem because of the following things. One, we use instant and rapid inductions. If you use an induction that takes 15, 10 minutes, 20 minutes long, like a progressive relaxation induction with no testing, then what's going to happen is that person's going to fall asleep sometimes. And we just went through all that. You don't want them to fall asleep. So you want to use instant inductions or rapid inductions. I've made two of my best inductions available to the entire universe of hypnotists free. Go to 8wordinduction.com. That's the number 8wordinduction.com. And I take you through a step-by-step procedure of how you can do instant induction with clients. They don't fall asleep if you don't give them time to fall asleep. The other thing is the five-path induction. It's a rapid induction. It's done in about 3 minutes. It's the way you speak that induction is rather rapidly, kind of like what I'm talking right now. And so that keeps the mind awake, alert, and focused. So 8wordinduction.com, 5pathinduction.com. I'm going to try to remember to put those links down below. By the way, if you're finding this useful, and you're watching me on YouTube or any other community type social media thing, give me a thumbs up or share or leave a comment. What do you think about working with sleeping clients? Do you do that? Do you sleep I mean, do you work with sleeping clients? Don't do that. All right, let's go on here. Now, you need to be at least a little bit more interactive with your clients. If all you're doing is a direct suggestion session where you're just giving them suggestions, have them give you a response once in a while. So you're going blah, 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 non-smoker or confidence or whatever it is. Then just simply say something like, if that's okay with you, nod your head. Once you establish early on the session that you're expecting those kind of interactions, you're letting them know they need to stay alert and they need to stay responsive. And they go, blah, 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 blah. Good. If that's okay with you, nod your head and just keep doing that kind of thing. And that keeps an interactive state going on. Now, another thing is you could use a dynamic voice. When you do direct suggestion work, and that's inductions, deepening, convincers, all this stuff, you want to use a dynamic voice. If you talk slowly like this all the time, your client's going to fall asleep. They, or at least they're much more likely to fall asleep. But if you do more of a dynamic voice like this, okay, take a nice deep breath, exhale, close your eyes. Good. Now press down with your hands, pressing. Good. Stop pressing, release and relax. One, two, three. Now I'd like you to begin raising one of your hands, raising your arm up, hold it and drop it, and so on. This kind of thing, your clients stay awake, engaged, and focused, and they can go into some very deep levels of hypnosis. Once again, take a dynamic approach like the five pathers do. Instant inductions, rapid inductions, very quickly deepen the hypnosis. Do convincers like eye lock test, arm catalepsy. Your clients will remain awake, engaged, and go to very deep levels of hypnosis. Both the eight-word induction and the five-path induction are designed to get someone to at least somnambulism, the upper levels of somnambulism, or deeper. So there's the beginning, the threshold of somnambulism, there's full somnambulism and profound somnambulism. No matter what kind of hypnosis you do, you want to have the person as highly suggestible as possible. So in addition to faster inductions using a dynamic voice, the certified five pathers, we use a five-phase process, of which we mostly just use the first four phases. And that is the first phase, which is preparation, testing, convincing. That's where you do the induction, you do the deepeners, you do the convincers, and that kind of thing. And then after that, we do age regression hypnosis. Nobody falls asleep during age regression hypnosis. It's very exciting and very experiential as the person deals with the history of their problem, going back even to the beginning of the problem. And we work back from there, and then the problem, it just collapses like dominoes from the initial sensitizing event to any subsequent sensitizing events, even symptom-producing events. And we also do age progression work, where we take the person into their probable future, where they can pre-vivify, pre-experience the success that they came in to get from the sessions with you. And it's been shown scientifically that the mind tends to experience what it expects to experience. And so we set up that positive expectancy by doing age progression work. We also deal with other feelings that drive problems, such as fear, anger, and guilt, by doing forgiveness of others work, which is very interactive, forgiveness of self work that's very interactive. And sometimes some clients have a thing that is very difficult to beat if you don't know how to do it, and that is secondary gain. That's right. Now, phases one, two, three, four, that is the preparation, testing, and convincing part, the induction, convincers, and all that, the age regression, age progression work, and then the forgiveness of others work, and then the forgiveness of self work. Those are working at the cause of the problem. But some people who've had problems for a long time have found the good in it. They've found the upside, and they may be unwilling to give up the problem or the symptom or the overreacting or the too much emotion, getting too angry or too sad or too depressed or whatever it is, because there's some benefit in it today or in the future. And so the fifth phase, parts mediation work, deals with that directly. All right. Hey, once again, please, you know, oh, I forgot to tell you about the last thing that I told you was the last thing. If you're falling asleep in your sessions, this happens. It happens. There's the tired hypnotist, and the tired hypnotist is going deeper, deeper, relax. And the hypnotist goes, hey, don't let that happen to you. Everything that I've covered so far is even more important if you're finding yourself tired or sleepy or falling asleep or fighting sleep during hypnosis sessions. Level up, take your sessions to a higher level. Become that hypnotist that is far and above the rest around you. Be more active, be more powerful. And if you want to learn more about becoming a 5-path certified hypnotist to, in class with me, either live online or in my classroom, go to Banyan Hypnosis Career Training. Banyan Hypnosis Career Training. And if you just want to get more of these videos, I have more of these videos than I have on social media like YouTube on calbanyan.com. Calbanyan.com. I have all like 650 something videos there. All right, that's it. Let me see. Oh, the schedule for my next class. Don't go away. Schedule for my next class is scheduled for September 18th through the 14th. I want to see you in class. September 8th through the 14th, 2024. And I think there's still time to get some early registration discounts. Contact us right away. Our phone number is right here. It's down below and it's on the website. All right. Please like, share, and subscribe. Tell your hypno buddies, colleagues, and friends about this. And I look forward to seeing you in class. Cal Banyan, signing out.